our hands together and say this word, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. This afternoon, as your word is taught, we receive it with clarity and meekness. Your word brings forth clarity to our mind. There's no error, there's no confusion as your word is taught. Right now, in this section, amen. Glory to God. So, we started off a series last week on the man, the message, and the mandate. Right? The man, the message, the mandate. This is even about what we had during the first session, or during the first service. The first service we discussed pneumaticals. So, we took off from where we stopped in pneumaticals and tongues, which we had it during the first service. So, by looking at the man, the message, and the mandate. Hallelujah. So, Matthew 28. So, in this section, our focus is a big upward beginning in the first service. Right, you don't think the continuation. Amen. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of revelation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus came and said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he that believes not shall be damned. And this time shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name don't cast out devils. They will speak with you, John. Say, they will take off serpents. And if they drink every devil, then they shall not help them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them. You see that telepathy of weeping, right? Walking with them and confirming the word of signs holy. Hallelujah. Luke 24, from verse 44. He said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was here with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened the ear of their understanding, that they might comprehend the scripture. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead in verse 46 and 47, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And here are the message of these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said, this will be Jesus' instructions within the 40 days, right? That within the 40 days, what Jesus did was that he taught them for 40 days. So we said, within the 40 days, he taught them and he gave them instructions. Meaning that these instructions will be instructions of the teachings, right? Will there be instructions from the teachings? Yes. Will there be instructions concerning what he taught them? Yes. Hallelujah. So we take these instructions and instructions of the teachings within the 40 days. Right? Right? And since the top of the scripture, we will be instructions of the scriptures. We're going to get to that shortly. Hallelujah. So we said, last week, we said, Matthew focused on the what? Discipleship. Right? Make disciples. Now the instructions are the same, but we'll have different expressions of it. It's 40 days. So what you have there are summaries of those instructions. Hope you're familiar. So why Matthew focus on the discipleship aspect of the instruction, which is make disciples? Yet Mark will say not to focus on that entry into discipleship. He doesn't mean, like I said earlier, during the first session, that he doesn't mean that Matthew didn't say anything about make go preach the gospel. He said, but if you say go make disciples, it included that you have to preach the gospel. Because the gospel is the only way through which a man will get saved. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So it's the gospel. So it's only through the gospel that a man gets saved. So the focus of Mark is on the entering into discipleship. He says that preach the gospel. He used that word keruso, euangelion, to preach the gospel, which we said is a territorial language. is a warlike language, is a kingdom language, right? So preach the gospel. And WCRC, I told you that the believers are armies. We are armies of the living God. Amen. We are God's armies in the air. And God's armies are territorial in consciousness. We are taking territory. Oh, we're going to get that. We're going to get to that as we go on
in this teaching.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, let's proceed a bit. Let's go forward. So we said, Mark will call that preaching the gospel. Luke will call the preaching of the gospel the preaching of what? Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. I was going to use the word repentance, the word metanoia or metanoio, which means to change one's mind to see Jesus as the solution to man's problem. Did you see that? To see Jesus from the resurrection. And so when a man does that, he says, when a man does that, what happens to him? He receives the remission of sins. Now what is the remission of sin? That is what affects it. Right? So the remission of sin is not that your sins are, permit me to put it in this language today. You know what you say, I am forgiving you your sins. In your mind, that sin has not gone still there. But I just do not want to talk about it. But that's not what forgiveness of sin is. Forgiveness of sin means affects it is gone, it is taken away. Amen. Amen. Remember, I showed off the word last week, exalifo, which is the word to be blotted out, is to snake that, to take it away. Did you see that? Amen? It's gone away. There's no remembrance of it at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what does it call the remission of sin? What do we receive when we get born again? John chapter 14. We receive the Spirit. Jesus says in John 14 verse 1, he says, in my Father's house I'm many mansions. He says, if you were not so, I would have told you I go prepare a place for you. Listen to that, in my Father's house. When you use the word Father's house, then it's the word for IKEA. It's the word for in my Father's family. Family, there are many mansions. You don't say there are mansions in the house. No, you don't have mansions in the house. So, geographically, that is wrong. That makes you see what he's talking about. When you use the word mansions there, is the word dwelling places. So in my Father's house, in my Father's family, that word house there is the word household, family. You see that? When you have the word Bethel in Genesis chapter 28, God is following that. The same Bethel was also in the first section. Then the first family. Bethel. Amen. He says, in my Father's family are many dwelling places. Say for it also, I want to have told you that I go prepare a place for you. Now when you use the word that I go prepare a place for you, yeah, is the word that you need to look at again. The I go doesn't mean he's good to leave. No. That I go prepare a place for you, that I will come again. Isn't that? Some people think the come again is rapture. He's coming back again. My God is coming back again. He went away from him, God is coming back again. He's coming back again, my God is coming back again. Oh glory, hallelujah, he's coming back again. Yes. That is great. And so, I have a second standard for that. The second standard is for my Catholic friends. Yeah. Come back again, no, no, come back again. Ah! What is it?
I used to think those things then. Amen.
So, he says, coming back again. So, he says, he goes, he's going to come back again. No, that's not what he's talking about then. Open your Bible to John chapter 14. He says, remember that was up in the mansion, there was a room told you, I go prepare it. He said, when I go, I will come again. Do you know what he called is going? I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you will be also. Now, I need to go to God. Let me explain something to you.
Now mark that, where I am, there you will be also. I need two people to come out. Volunteer yourself now, or I should point you to come out. Come on, two people should volunteer themselves. Come on. So that you will not forget. Come. Let me do an illustration for you. He said, where I am, there you will be also.
Now it means where I am, where there you will be also. You know, like this. She's not, he is not where she is. Hope you know that. Hope you know that. They are only close, but he is not where she is. He is here. He is not where she is. You have to understand the use of that word. Where I am, there you will be also. And where is that place? That is the Father's mansion. Hope you are following me. Come forward. Like this. He is not still where she is. So, you can go and see that. So, what is where I am, there you will be also? It means where I am standing, where I am is where you will be. That is to say, you have to be in me and I am in you. Okay, wait, wait, wait. That's why it will not be hard for you to read chapter 14 and chapter 15 together when Jesus now says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Isn't that? They are together. Isn't that? Except you abide in me. That is it. That is the abiding in me and I in you. He said, if you abide in me and I in you. John 15, verses 4. And I in you. That is the where I am. There you will be also. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Glory to God.
So that is in my Father's house, back to John 14. Look at back to John 14. What he says, and many mentioned, I go prepare a place for you. Now look at that word, I go again. It looks as if Jesus is leaving. Right? But you need to understand what it means by I go prepare a place. Now when he uses the word, now in English, that place is where I am, there you will be. Now show you what where I am, there you will be, right? Now when you use the word prepare,
the word prepare there is the word hectomizo. Hectomizo, H-E-T-O-M-I-Z-O. Hectomizo. Hectomizo is used for how you make a room inside a house. Amen? There's a difference between making a, preparing a room inside a place, like this is a place, this is an inside place. You now make somewhere, Pastor Kubi is coming to our house today, let's prepare him a room. So you go in and then you prepare a room. Why are you preparing a room inside the house? Do you see that? So the word ectomizo is used for an internal work. Hope you're following that. So that is why it says the Father's house and many mansions. If you do good kingdom, you are doing good, God is you are building your mansion in which heaven. It's not in mansion. It's a Dango testament you used to bring. What's wrong with you? So that some people when they get to heaven they will become great man. Any great man is a bookie they will become. What nonsense are you saying? Some people will become this man in heaven. Someone said, I'd rather be a gate man in heaven than to be driving helos in hell. Okay, go to the heaven. Stop saying nonsense. Some people will be frying eggs, they'll be doing a shine in heaven. What kind of nonsense is that? Some people will be hungry, so some people have to be in a shine. What are you saying? Oh, and then some people, their house in heaven. Look at how greedy you are. Say, ah, we will have mansions. Say, their house in heaven like 10 rooms. Who will live inside? You occupy 10 rooms. Give yourself a break. You see, that is what materialism has caused. Don't be living in 10 rooms inside heaven. Only you, 10 rooms. Are you octopus? You occupy all the rooms. There's some people, their house in heaven. There will be awesome. Say, if you're in Africa, you say, real move four. If you're in the U.S., they say, snow will enter your house. Come on, give yourself a break. Who say things like that? Because rain doesn't fall from heaven. Rain is just within the sky. There are layers of the sky you pass that you pass, you've gone beyond where the rain bank used to be. You don't know. Even the snow bank. There are layers you pass, you found them. So why is he in heaven again? You see how nonsense some people still are. If you do good, kingdom, oh kingdom, oh kingdom waiting for you. If you do something, kingdom. No, that's not what he's talking about. Yeah, I go prepare. This is what he's preparing now, is to make a room inside. And that prepare is where I am, there you'll be. So that is the indwelling, the spirit of God in man. That's what we're talking about. So when he said, I will come again and receive it to myself, that is the resurrection. He is not coming back again. He has come back in the resurrection. That's what he did. When he said, I go, means just like put, I go, and put it side by side with Matthew chapter 16. I will build my church at the gate of hell. Did you see that? Was that talking about his death? Right? Will not prevail. The gate of hell, which is the place of the dead, that means he was going to die. He will not prevail, means he will resurrect. So, I go will mean he was going to die. And I will come again will be the resurrection. So, he has come back again. Amen? He has come back again. And has received us to himself. How did he receive us? You have a spirit in your heart. That is where I am. There you be also. Is it about that? But you know this at the right hand of God. The heavens are the left. Satan is at the left. No. When you hear the right hand of God is where I am, there you be also. That is the indwelling. Right hand of God is because you are too used to English. English is not your problem. You think right hand of God that was said 4,000 years ago, that is right hand of God means his right hand that you are seeing today. Oh, you are following me. So the right hand of God will be the indwelling. Hallelujah. So we'll explore this and many more in the coming days as we continue on this series. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm following you. Amen. Did you understand that? Did you understand that? Okay. So, what did we receive in the new birth? What did we receive? When we got born again? The Spirit. Right? Is that where I am? There you'll be also? Yes. Do you see that? The Spirit. Is that the Spirit within? Is that the Spirit within? Can you see that? The Spirit within, right, is a fact of the gospel. The Spirit among is a fact of the gospel also. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So when you use the word teaching them, is that what didasco? Let's get back to what we're looking at. Didasco. I would say didasco means the act of teaching, right? Didasco. So we said last week that a good teacher is a good student and a good student is a good teacher, right? And a good reader. Did you say that? A good teacher is a good student who is a good reader and listener. You say Jesus as a good teacher was a good student. Acts 2, right? He was found among the doctors of the law. I mean, I never have to Luke 2. Luke 2 verses 46. He was found among the teachers of the law and he was paying attention to them. Acrino, he was paying attention to them. He was asking questions, paying attention to them. In Luke 4 verse 15, the Bible says he had a custom of going into the synagogue. The synagogue is where they go to learn the Bible. So Jesus was always going to the synagogue to learn. Is that Jesus is God, yet he was learning the scriptures like every other man who do. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus was found hearing God's word. So the an attitude of a good student is that he will be found hearing God's word for you. Okay, hearing. Amen. Amen. Go back hearing God's word always. So God has designed it that way. God has designed it that way. You do not know scriptures that you read, leave it on your phone. God has designed, I'm very careful to say that, but that is the truth. You don't know scriptures that way. God has designed it in such a way that you are taught to know. How that scripture that? You are taught to know. You must, so that means that must give myself to the taught God's word. Okay, I must give myself to the taught God's word. That is what the church is for. When you have taught God's word. Amen. So you don't know it, you don't read it on your own. No, you are taught, then you read what you are taught. Do you see that? Amen. You are taught. That is then you do what? You read what you are taught. Then you can do more research of what you are taught. Just within the context, the confine of what you have taught. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. I have to leave here fast today. 2 Timothy 2:2. This Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy is a pastor. And he says to a pastor, he said, the things that thou hast heard have heard from me among many witnesses, it is the same, commit to faithful men. Isn't that the things you've heard from me? He said, commit to faithful men which will be able to teach others also. So you teach men what you've been taught, and those ones will teach other people. Did you see that? So what will be taught? What you have been taught. You see that? So that means you must be a good student to be a good teacher. That means a good teacher, you're a bad student. You'll be a bad teacher. Okay, hear me. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
So let's get back to Matthew 28. Yeah, this was where we stopped last week, so I got there on time. Matthew 28. So when he uses the word teaching them,
now we say that word teaching them, Matthew 28, teaching them is the word didactic. Am I too fast? Am I fast? Am I too fast? Okay, that word teaching there is the word didasko. I've said it for you. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Didasko. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. Didasko.
It is for the act of teaching. The act of teaching.
The act of teaching. That word didasko has several brothers and sisters.
But I will take only two. You have like four. We have didasko, we have didacticos,
we have didascalia,
we have the dace, and the like. We have the Didas family. It's called the Didas family. D-I-D-A. Dida. So let's look at two. We're looking at didaskalia. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. Didaskalia. Is the word that is used for an explanation or teaching. Explanation or teaching. Didaskalia. In 2 Timothy 3:16, but let's get there.
Okay, hold on in class today. You will see the reason why I have to go through all this route. When we get into the teaching proper, we will have a lot to look at. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Second Timothy 3:16. It says here, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now that is the word doctrine.
Doctrine. That's what didaskalia. Now,
I know a lot of people say doctrine means the way you used to do things, right? I've heard a lot of people say that.
I used to say that too before.
The doctrine of our church is how we used to do things. In our church, our doctrine is you must not come to church with shoe. It's our doctrine. It's our way of life. No. Doctrine here actually has to do with a teaching or an explanation.
An explanation.
So it says the gospel or no, the scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. Explanation. So that means the reason for the Bible is so that it should be explained. Hope you are hearing me.
What's the reason for the Bible? The reason for the Bible is not to quote it. Some people like to use Bible for quoting. The Bible is not for quoting. The Bible is not for making me fat. It's for what? Explanation. It's not for quoting. It's not for backing up. Say, okay, I'm going to tell you four things now. I'm going to back it up with the Bible. No, what can we do? Amen. Anybody that starts by listening, can you tell me four things and back it up with scripture? Just what can we do? Why? Because the scripture is not for backing up. What are you telling me? I want to back it up. No.
Remember, what kind of reading is that? Biased reading. Did you see that? You're already biased. You don't back it up.
No! If you tell me that back it up with scripture, I'll just walk away. I don't know. Amen? Can you quote it? No, don't Any scripture you cannot explain, don't show it. When I mean explain, you see what I'm doing? I'm explaining scripture. You see how long it's taking you? Is that what it takes you to write just on a particular? See how long it takes you? So that when I come here, they teach us for 1 hour plus. What I take 3 days to write. Daily. Let me give you an example. You see this book? Yeah? If I tell you how this book is, this is half of the book. Just like writing, half of the book is what you're reading. That's what it takes to write. This is half of the book. This book is bigger than this. When the person of writing, it is here, was here, it is here. And maybe we'll go to love this. Yeah. So that is what it means to explain. So that I know that what I'm going to teach you is free from error to the best of my. Okay? To the best of what I can see from the scriptures. To ensure that it is free from error. Don't come here and be giving you fabu. No, you come with fabu. Yeah? This is not you. There is the you that is the you that you need to get at. When you apply yourself.
Are coming out in their numbers. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So scripture is not for quoting, right?
Aha.
It's not for quoting. Scripture is not for quoting.
It's for it's to be taught and taught well. What are you hearing me? Huh? Aha. So explanation. You find other places where that word didaskalia was used. I would like to read it out because of time. Matthew 15 verse 9. Matthew 15 verse 9. Matthew 12 verse 7. Matthew 15 verse 9. Romans 12 verse 7. Romans 15 verse 4. That's what we're learning. Romans 12 verse 7. He that teacheth on his teaching. Romans 15 verse 4. That is the word learning. The things that were written and for were written for our learning. Ephesians 4:14. 4:14. Is the word doctrine. Hallelujah. So the next word we have is the word didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E.
Didache. Didache is used, or didache is, what it means is, it implies the mode of explanation. Mode of explanation, or an explanation. The mode of explanation. How what is explained is explained. Didache. How is it explained? What you are saying, how is it explained? How is it taught? How is it explained? How is it didache? Amen. How will it explain? Now let's look at this.
Matthew 7. Matthew 7 verse 28. Are you there? Now Jesus started teaching from chapter 5. Now he taught chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. He was teaching to those. Now at in verse 27 he was done teaching. Look at what the people did. And it came to pass, when he had ended his saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Did you see that? They were what? Astonished at his doctrine. That word doctrine is the word didache. Mode of explanation.
They were astonished at how he explained the scripture. Did you see that? Remember, Jesus was reading from where? From Genesis down to Malachi. Right? Right?
Luke 24, Luke showed us that Jesus read from the scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi. That word I spoke to, which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So he set for us that template that Jesus always taught from the scriptures. So they were surprised at his doctrine, how he explained the Bible. Look at verse 29. For he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. Do you see that? The thought as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, who are the scribes? The scribes are the scholars of their day, like the Pharisees, the scribes. This is that. The scribes are the scholars of their day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They are the scribes. They are the ones that teach. What are you following me? They are the ones that do what? That teach in the synagogue. Now, these guys were surprised at how Jesus read the Bible, how Jesus explained the Bible. They said they were astonished at his doctrine, his mode of teaching. Why? Why? Remember, they were, who did they have before now? They had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? So they always heard them teach. And now Jesus is coming, and he said, and they were surprised. Wow, we've not heard this before. Did you see that? Look at how he explained the Bible. That means there is a way we ought to teach the Bible. Did you see that? There is a way you ought to teach the Bible. And we have to pay attention to how Jesus taught the Bible that is different from how the Pharisees taught. Did you see that? Let's pay attention to this. Right? Let's see. Look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees. Jesus condemned their mode of explaining. Look at Jesus' commentary in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, are you there? Matthew 16, verse 6. Look at what Jesus said. He said, and Jesus said to them, take heed and beware. Are you there? Matthew 16, verse 6. Let's read together. One, two, go, everybody. Bro, let's read together. One, two, go. And beware of the living of the Pharisees and of the... Do you see that? It tells them to beware of the living of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Look at what the disciples thought he was talking about. Verse 7, let's read together. And they reasoned among themselves saying, is it because we have no bread? Do you see that? They thought he was talking about bread. Okay, let's see. Verse 8, let's continue. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, let's read together, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourself, because ye have brought no bread. Amen. Look at verse 11, let's read together, one to go. No, let's read together, one to go. Everybody together, one to go. How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should be aware of the living of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Verse 12, one to go. Then understood they how he bade them not to beware of the living of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So, that word doctrine there is what did that change. He said, beware of their mode of explaining. So, when he uses the word, he qualifies their teaching with the word living. So, when you hear the word living, living there is a Moses language. Hope you're hearing it. It's a Moses language. So, we have to go back to Moses. This is that, and see how would Moses use the word leaven? Amen. And that is Exodus chapter 12 again. Let's get quickly to Exodus 12. Sorry, yeah, Exodus 12. I'll pick out some verses for us to read. Exodus 12. Remember we read that during the first service, right? Do you remember that? Okay, Exodus 12. Look at verses 15. The 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. What should you eat? What should you eat? Aha, unleavened bread. I'm not telling you today, you now go out, you go home and say, Mommy, I don't want to give you bread. I want unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is not sweet in the mouth. You cannot drink it. You are eating unleavened bread before. And even. They are sticky, the Lord's body before. Have you ever seen the Lord's body? He used to pack it off. I remember him. They say break and pass.
Break, you know, there's lots of beating you break. What are they? As a jump guy. Jump. You will force everything. And then they say, oh, you see this? It tastes like paper in your mouth. But you see it, you go, you're hungry. I don't know what I'm talking about.
We had a meeting, but we now broke bread
and drank wine. This is holy communion. I don't know what you call it now. I forgot. I've lost track of that word. So the wine now has small holy ghost. You know what I mean?
So when the thing is small. So when we do, I want to some bread. You know
what you call Bacchus wine? No, Bacchus has small Holy Ghost inside. you know what I mean by small Holy Ghost? You know that? Yeah. So, we went on board. And I told the brethren, you guys should take this in and go and draw. Not knowing that the brethren had other plans. They wanted to be high on the most high.
Stupid boy. The thing broke. And it started doing right. So on living bread. Yeah, chapter 12 verse 15. On living bread. You should eat on living bread. Then he said, even the first day, ye shall put away what? Living out of your houses. Did you see that? Put away what? Living out of your houses. So the living is what is rejected. What is not good. Did you see that? What is not good is God living. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. The living, okay, if we go before now, the living is what you prepare when you eat. So the yeast there is the corruption. Look at what the yeast that makes it living.
We're going to explain that during one of... Oh, which teaching am I having that I said I'm going to do with that? There's a teaching we're having.
No, there's a... Don't worry. I've not started teaching you guys. Don't worry, we'll get there. I know that I'm doing a study where I have the different kinds of food in the Bible and the implication of food. Total on in scriptures. So I know that was why I wrote living, but I went down to how the living bread was prepared. So now see it in today's world. But no problem, it's not for today. It's the years to come. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you read now, you see that the living was prepared with yeast. And yeast is what makes people swear.
That is the living bread. So that yeast is the corruption. Amen. You the whole yeast.
Guys, when I met that guy over there, he was telling me he is a Seventh Day Adventist. I don't know what he was Adventist. He don't need to eat some food.
Did you guys know
that? It's like the grace of God right now. He's always now allowing me to eat some food. But not eat meat. Or do you eat meat then? Huh? Okay, don't eat pork.
But he ate snake. He ate python.
Okay. Anyway. I tell you for you that I'm going to give you a showboat very soon. No, a showboat.
Don't worry. That will mean, don't worry, you will not die. You will just explore. You eat monkey. You know monkey.
Yeah. That's all. Oh, I'll let him, the day we'll eat it. It will not be a surprise. We will go there and I will tell you
This is what you want to eat. I'll tell you, it's either eat or lose your salvation. So you choose your... I'll tell you, it's not like that of Python that you guys didn't know. In fact, their confession was sight or sweet. If I had told them it was fine, they would not have listened. You know what you got it. And that battle act, so that shouted, thank you, Jesus. Because you know it. Because you know it. You will know that start, thank you, I've eaten. And then it's now. Whenever I said, you have just finished eating. They wanted to vomit, both of them. It has been daddy.
It's years back. I won't do that again. I will tell you, and I will tell you, your salvation is tied to it. Amen.
Yeah. I won't do it again. I will let you know what you want to eat. But, I will tell you, this one, if you eat it, you don't eat it. You are going to hellfire. I will personally put you there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Chapter 12, verse 19. There's somebody who hear me say that, say, this pastor is to put people in hellfire. 7 days. Let's go, verse 19. 7 days. There shall be no living found in your house. Now, that house is there. It's actually household. Remember we read it earlier. Family. You will see the bigger implication when we look at Exodus. Amen. So you can see living is used for what you put away. Chapter 13 verse 7. On living bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no living bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be a living bread seen with thee in any quarter. So living must not be found amongst you. So that he now comes and tells them, beware of the living of the family. Listen to that. So what did he say? Number one, it means that the mode of explaining scripture, the way the Father sees explaining the Bible, is corrupt. Know the word living is a corruption, is corrupt, is wrong, is wrong, is bad, is evil. Now, that is what the word living is, right? Now take it back to Exodus. Shall not living be found amongst you? It means you must stay away from it. Did you see that? So that means two people also know the doctrines of the Pharisees. You should know that it's corrupt and must not be found listening to it. Did you see that? Did you see that? So that means the way they explained Bible was wrong. Wrong. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will pick that up. Paul will pick that word up in Romans 16 verse 17. Romans 16, 17. Quickly, let's just get to Romans 16, 17. Are you there? Look at what he will now say in verse 17. He says, now I beseech you. Romans 16, verse 17. He says, Romans 16, 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren. Come on, for what are slow. Romans 16, 17. Says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause what? Divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Did you see that? Mark them. It means mark them. Mark them means watch them, mark them. Who causes divisions? Right? Right? And offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. So that means there is a mode of explanation of how, there's a mode in which Bible should be explained, and anyone teaching contrary to how scripture should be explained should be marked and avoided. You see that? Amen. There are some people that personally I like them personally for who they are. I like them, but I can't listen to them. You know why I can't listen to them? Because Bible asks me not to listen to them. Because they are more of explaining scriptures. Hope you're hearing me. I can listen to you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What you tell me, if I don't sow seed, I will go to hellfire. Come on, I can't listen to you. That's not a doctrine of scriptures. Amen. Amen. Bible warns us against about those who call materiality gain. Watch them, mark them, avoid them. Nobody will know you. Material gods. There are many of them. Things like that. You mark them. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul will use that word didache to tell Timothy as a pastor to ensure that he explains scriptures well. In verse 2, he said, preach the word. He be instantly seasoned and out of season, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So he tells the pastor to explain Bible well. Scripture must be explained well. In Titus 1:9, quickly, Titus 1:9, he used that word too. That how would you know a faithful man? Titus 1:9. He said, holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, which is a bishop. How do you know a faithful bishop, a faithful pastor? He said, as he has been taught, that he may by sound doctrine, sound explanation, sound mode of explanation. So you know a faithful minister by how he consistently explains scriptures rightly. How many are hearing it?
Yes,
so there's a way Bible should be taught. How many are hearing it? Bible should not be taught anyhow. There is a mode. I put it like this. There's a modus operandi. There's a mode of explaining Bible. You don't need to just rush. No! That's why Jesus will tell them not to tell any man that he is the Christ. He will tell them not to tell any man about the miracles he has done. Why? Because there's a mode of explaining Jesus' story. Jesus' story is not the best story. No! There's a way to explain some scriptures. Okay, then he rose again. Then he died and now rose. No, that's not how it should be explained. Jesus didn't explain that Jesus resurrected and he taught them 40 days so that they will understand what had happened. Hope you're following me. So he taught his experience of the scriptures. So that means Jesus wants you to teach his experience to from the scriptures to explain the scriptures rightly. Amen. Amen. So how you explain Bible is now, I just got a word. Yeah, I just got a word and I said it. And it happened. It's your week. You will submit your assignment, your lecturer must collect it by four. You don't know me. Amen. No, don't do things like that. Amen. Amen. Who are following me? Glory to God. This is the way Bible should be taught. Never forget, you cannot be a good teacher except you are a good student and a good listener. You cannot be a good teacher except you are a good student, a good listener, and a good reader. So that means, listen here, that means a good teacher who can explain Bible rightly, have the right mode of explanation, must know how to read rightly. I hope you are following me. So for you to explain rightly, you must read well. Amen. Yeah, look at Jesus. Let's observe Jesus and the Pharisees because the contrast is between Jesus and the Pharisees here. Right? Let's explore a bit of that. Jesus and the Pharisees. Hallelujah. So let's pay attention to how Jesus explained and then look at the Pharisees. Luke 24, verse 44. Says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Luke shows us that pattern of how Jesus taught. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. By the way, how Jesus taught them in the resurrection was the same way he taught them when he was with them in the incarnation. You see that? These are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you. All things were to fulfill. Now look at that one. That all things were to fulfill which were written in the law of Moses. Did you see that? Did you see that? Which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Amen.
Amen. What we are following here. So that is the pattern from the law of Moses.
Law of Moses is where?
Genesis. Is it that? Law of Moses is where? Genesis. Is it that? In the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. So that means it's talking about Genesis down to Malachi. So the way they call, in Jesus' day, they have Bible. The Bible is Genesis to Malachi. So the way they call it, they don't call it Bible. Yes? They don't call it Bible. They call it the law and the prophets. They call it Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. Is this enough? That is the name given to their Bible. Hope you're following me. So they say that what we're reading in the law of Moses, the prophet, and in the Psalms. That is Bible. This is that. So that is Jesus taught from Moses. Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27. It says, up. Beginning as what? Verse 27. Beginning as what? Beginning as what? And what? What did he do? He expanded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Remember what Jesus taught? Beginning as Moses. Moses, there will be Genesis. So Jesus will teach from Genesis. So that is a pattern. What are you hearing me? Teach from where? Genesis. Hallelujah. So that means, teaching from Genesis will show a systematic way of explaining Bible. Systematic. From the Genesis. Genesis becomes the foundation. Becomes the foundation. Hallelujah. Very vital. So that means Jesus' emphasis will be on that systematic approach to scriptures from the Genesis. And he will turn to the Pharisees and he will rebuke them for the same reason. In Matthew 19 verses 3, they came to meet him. We saw this last week, right? Matthew 19:3. Look at what they are. The Pharisees came to him, tempting him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a wise man to put away his wife for any cause? That is Deuteronomy. They came to ask him questions in Deuteronomy. What did Jesus say? Look at the next verse. Jesus said to them, Have you not read? That he which made them at the beginning. Where is it at the beginning? Made them male and female. That's Genesis 1:26-27. So that means before you get to Deuteronomy, you have to read Genesis. Is that anagenosko? Remember I looked at anagenosko last week. How to read holistic. You don't jump into a textbook from chapter 10. You must start from chapter 1. Right? No good student, I told us last week, read key points. No good student will get an A by reading key points. People will give you C or D, depending on who said the question. Amen? Key points, it's just points. Help me list and explain. Key points will only list, will not explain. I want to get A. It's only A. When, you know when they tell you explain? And they tell you describe, they are not the same. Or write short notes. Or people just define. When they ask you, describe demand call. So people when you use key points, when they tell you describe demand call, key points only define it. And it's not describe. Demand call is the define marginal propensity to that's two lines. They have, how are they that, man? That key points work. Just they give them. I only wrote 4 pages. They tell you to tell you to describe demand call. You not give example. You not cite facts. And you want to get A, it's not the A you get. You'll be around D. Because what you just defined, the definition in your writing YX is just one mark. What you are supposed to get 10 marks, you have got 1 over 10. And you say, because you don't fail, I say they failed everybody in my center. You know your center they failed. That's stupid talk. They say, they failed everybody in my center. You know your center. That's our center is not, what do you call that? It's not special center. They failed everybody. What kind of special center is that? So everybody in your center were using key points.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So He said, Jesus will remind them and will say, have you not read? So that means Jesus' didache is anagenosko. Is to read well. Did you see that? Read well from Genesis. Don't skip details. Alright, some people just read their Bible anyhow. No, you don't skip details. You read it well. Don't just jump to Ephesians 4:32 and be a kind to one another, tender hearted, give one another, even another that I was giving you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Jesus, in the name. Ah, hear God, I heard God's word. Ephesians 4:32. What nonsense are you saying? If you want to read Ephesians 4, start from Ephesians 1:1 and read it to Ephesians 4. I read the whole Ephesians. Hope you're hearing me. Don't skip details. Don't. You know that some people.
Let me shock you. You know, have you seen children? When you're small, they have to come home with reader Macmillan. You know Macmillan? Did you read Macmillan? Do you know Macmillan? You sure? You know Macmillan? You people went to grammar school here. Okay. Macmillan. Okay. You know goodbye to failure. You know goodbye to failure. Okay. Macmillan. They now ask you to do reader. Read reader. I go live in the town of Lagos. Because they read it in school. And your mother. Your mother is the type that if you don't read it, you receive cock. So you crammed it in your head. You're not getting it. Read the reader. Your eyes is in the first line. You are reading the last line. Abo live in the town of Lagos, which is not far from the barrio. You went to primary school, was in primary. For everyone loves Abo, you went to school. You have not written anything.
No, no, no. You didn't hear what I said. You are told to read something. Well, now after you have point what you are reading, you will now be sweating. But you just read it now, point it, and you read it. You don't do it. You read. Ah. Except my mother is not your mother.
So what we now, what I developed is called how to beat the skin. Until that day I was caught. So whenever they call people to read in class, I will now cram it. I will cram everything. Because I know my mother will ask me to read at home. I will cram. Seriously, the term I'm supposed to use to learn it, I need to cram. So I will not get home. If I tell you how many of my readers I have in my head, without looking at the reader, they read it. Okay. Abo lived in the town of Lagos, it's not far from me, but they went to primary school, it was in primary five. Everyone liked Abo because it was nice. Abo was a lucky boy because his parents were, his father gave him a watch and Abo was very proud of it. One day I was just reading like that. My mother knew that when this boy don't reach, he's about one turn. He also have turned this book.
I'm still on the same page. Not that I should read it, I should point it.
Your heart will begin to know that the earth, heaven and earth, or the earth of the south form and what, and that God was born for you. This, our mother's knock is one that will waking the light of God's spirit in your heart. That knock. That knock.
They will knock your head if you hold it in your hand. Knock and confuse your mental process.
So, some people are like that when they read their Bible. Some people will read their Bible and they will be sleepy and they will be seeing scriptures that are not in the scripture.
You will see what is in the Bible. You sleep.
Hallelujah. You should be detailed. Amen. Don't miss the details. What are you following me? You are not supposed to miss the details. You have to read well. Anaginosko.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that means in that systematic reading where you have to read everything together, reading context, you shouldn't skip details. For example, you are reading, we read during the first service, we read Ephesians chapter 6. And we saw Ephesians 6 where we saw spiritual wickedness. For you to read spiritual wickedness, the writer expects you to skip the details in chapter 2 verse 2.
You see that? That means you must read, you must read in detail. That there are two ways to was the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience in that wickedness in high places. Did you see that? So you don't need to skip the details. Hope you are following that. Don't just skip the details. Hallelujah. Don't just skip it. So you must read in details. Your mind must be applied to what you are reading. Apply your, don't be, see, the worst thing you can do is to be reading your Bible and watching an Arsenal game. Is the worst thing you can ever do. What are you hearing?
The worst. Because you always have heartbreak. Like now. No trophy.
And they will continue trophy. Not a cup. It will happen for 40 years. And then, should I give a prophecy? Amen. As pastor, he hated Arsenal like this. I don't know. Amen. So where were we? So let's look at it. Okay, let's quickly look at something in Matthew 12. I wonder why they have it in my notes and I skipped that. Matthew 12, quickly. Yeah, Matthew 12, I skipped that. Matthew 12. Look at something that they came to meet Jesus. Look at what they said in verses 2. We looked at this earlier. It says, okay, verses 1. At the time Jesus went out on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were the disciples were angered. King James is good. And began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do what is not lawful to be done upon the Sabbath. Did you see that? Did you see that? They say they came to Jesus that your disciples do what is not lawful to be done on the Sabbath. They are eating on the Sabbath. Did you see that? They are doing work. They are doing what is not lawful. And Jesus said to them, look at Jesus' response, because we're going to see the effect of that response. So, Jesus said to them, have you not read Anagiosko? Right? Have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him? How they entered into the house of God? What does he call house of God? Temple? Right? Right? Is that it? The house. Temple? And did eat the shewbread which was not lawful for him to eat. Neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at something by that. They came to accuse Jesus. They came accusing Jesus' disciples that they were eating what wasn't lawful for them to eat on the Sabbath. Did you see that? On the Sabbath day. And Jesus, listen, and Jesus' response to them was, did you skip details? Now this time it's not about going back to Genesis, but did you skip details? Because he shows you that the details now is to read the whole Bible together. So you skip details when you come saying, Jesus, have you forgotten that David too, ever wasn't lawful to be eaten? And he said, there was one wasn't lawful. He said, David ever wasn't lawful and nothing happened to him. So, I need you to put on your thinking cap. Everybody put on your thinking cap. Look up here. Let's see what Jesus is saying. Everybody look up here. Is Jesus promoting... Listen, is Jesus promoting... how should I put it? Disobedience to God's word? No. Amen. Is that what he's doing? No. But he is correcting something that is very fundamental. Look up here before you write. Understand what I'm saying before you write what you want to write. Because you can miss it and write another thing. Hallelujah. So are you saying is Jesus promoting what is lawful for his disciples to be doing? No. Because they can say the disciples do this thing and it's wrong. And they now say, no, what about this person? This is what is wrong. You say, are you now saying everybody should be doing what is wrong? No. You have to see what Jesus is saying here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you don't skip the details. First of all, let's see this. Okay, let's see this.
What Jesus just did was to point their attention to how the writer intends to distribute his writing. Well, what we have just learned. How? Listen, I showed us something earlier on during the first service,
but I'm going to take my time to go over it again. I already just said it, but we're going to look at the scriptures together. Hallelujah. So there's a way the writer intends you should read his writing. Look at Psalm 78 quickly. So you get this. Psalm 78. Verses 1. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to my words, to the words of my mouth. Verse 2. Are you there? Verse 2, it says, I will open my mouth in a parable. Did you see that? I will offer dark sayings of old.
So when you use the word parable there, hold on, when it says offer dark sayings of old, if you read the Septuagint, the Septuagint says, I will offer dark sayings from the beginning. That is the word of old. From the beginning. That is the word you have, if you say word for archaic in the Greek. I will utter that saying of old. That is to say, that saying of old, there will be from Genesis. Isn't that? That is from the beginning. Genesis of old will be Genesis. So when it says utter that saying of old, then we do reference Genesis. Listen,
that means what I will have in Genesis will be parables and that saying. Isn't that? Now when you hear the word that saying,
that is the word chidah. Chidah, Chidah is where you have the word reduce. That is to have things, figure of speech. Where you have figure of speech for reduce. Amen. That means when I get to Genesis, I'll have a lot of figures of speech. Like what? Heaven and earth. Did you see that? Figure of speech. Like what? Like in Genesis, you have the tree. Figure of speech. Like in Genesis, you have reeds. Reeds is not referring to your physical reeds. No. Because in the science of that world, there was nothing called reeds there. Did you see that? So you have reeds. You have temple. Do you see that? So you have a lot of reeds there. Amen. Take thy only son. You have no self-worth there. Amen. So the writer intends that you understand. If you also read Psalm 49 verse 9, you discover that the writer also expects. Psalm 49 verse 4 rather.
The writer also expects that you know what it points to. Now another word there is the word parable. The word parable there is the word mashal. Mamshal.
M-A-S-H-A-L. Mamshal. Mamshal.
Like where you have mashal, but not mashal. It's not my language. If you permit me. Amen. Amen. So that word mashal
is when you have in the Greek, is that Greek word parabole. Parabole. Parable. Parabole. Mashal. Where you have proverb. Do you see that? Proverb. Mashal. Now what are proverbs for?
If I'm talking to you and I give you a proverb, is the proverb what I'm telling you? No. The proverb is to further explain what I'm trying to say.
I'm talking to you and I say, why are you here? Let me
use the normal African magic ethic. A toad does not run in the daytime for nothing. It's either it is chasing something or something is chasing it. So that is African magic ethic. So the question is, am I saying the person is a toad? No. But you're going to look at what am I using that thing to say? That you're coming there at this time is not for nothing.
there's a reason why you are here. Do you see that?
So the proverb is just to further explain what, or further throw light on what I'm trying to say to you. Do you see that? Yeah? Hope you're following me.
Good. Okay, because that is like, okay. The rest are just explanation of
there's another proverb. If you carry Africa, Nigeria will have funny proverbs. The man who carries the father up. How did they even think of that kind of proverb? Is it? Let's continue. Funny proverb.
Amen. So proverb. So the Greek will call it parabole. Parabole is what is cast alongside. It is cast alongside, meaning something is being said, another thing is cast alongside to further explain what is being said. That's what he does it now. He just cast it alongside. Okay, yeah, that is parabole. To cast something alongside. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's see what that means. So when Jesus, now, I said, look at all this route I went through. It's just to explain Matthew 12.
What Jesus just said. Amen. Just like you see. What Jesus was saying to them.
So, very vital. Like I showed us earlier on, about the tabernacle, right? We said,
which is those of you who were around professors. I said the tabernacle,
when Moses used the word pattern, is to show a sign, right? So he will not give them a tabernacle. But take note, the same people he gave a tabernacle were the same people that were there in Genesis 1. So, and I said he was teaching them Genesis 1, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We're not talking about creation. We're telling them this is God's plan, right? Heaven and earth, God and man, in the same place. That's what God wants. He now shows them how Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the heart of man is dark. My heart of man is dark. That is supernatural, right? But God's plan is his light, which is the heaven. To shine, and God has offered himself as the light. Did you see that? The light in your heart. That's it, just like this. Okay, look at this tabernacle. This tabernacle now, the temple which they know in Egypt, temple is used for God. It's used for God, dwelling place of God. So now, this temple on the land. Land is used for where man stays. So now look at this temple on the land. It's the same way God wants to inhabit the whole earth. Genesis 1:1. Now if you now leave what he says and I start going into the temple to go and look for God, then something is wrong with you. Hope you're hearing me. And I give you another illustration that I love better. That further best explains Genesis 1:1. Amen. Or that best explains tabernacle. And I said what? I'm teaching you. We have a task of doing what? Selling iPhone 15 Pro Max. And we have a target of 15 billion. And I'm telling you, hit the goal. Make sure you get to the goal. The goal is what? 15 million. It's just like Arsenal and Newcastle. Not Chelsea. Remind yourself. Arsenal and Newcastle. Arsenal will play and play and pass and pass. They will get to the post and they will throw the ball away. They will press and press. But Newcastle holds the ball once and their mind is on the goal. Isn't that? They just get the ball and the next goal. Focus. Now imagine I'm God telling you, look at the way Newcastle score. They were focused to score. And after we're just playing around, the same way our goal is to take billion. You see that? Now imagine you now hear that. You now forget the fact that I've given you iPhone 15 Pro Max in cartons. So go and sell and bring me 15 billion. You now went to the street, now went to buy bladder. And I'm not doing like this. You should be taken to a psychiatric home. Because the illustration of Arsenal versus Newcastle will be what? A parabole, just cast alongside. Hope you're following me. But that you further explain what I mean by get me the ball, get me the 15 billion. Very simple. Hope you're hearing me.
So that is parable. Cast alongside.
So when Jesus, so it implies
in teaching or in writing, the writers of scriptures will employ illustrations like that. Illustrations, parables, riddles to point to their message. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Sometimes these illustrations will be something known to their world, like Arsenal and Newcastle. Do you see that? Mind you losing to West Ham. Something like that. Amen. Hope you are following me. It will be known like the way it's known to your world. Right? Right? So sometimes those illustrations will be known to them. But yet, it will be an illustration. Do you see that? To be an illustration. For example, in Matthew 12, he uses the word Sabbath. Moses will give them Sabbath. Sabbath day worship. Do you see that? He will give them Sabbath day worship. We'll close soon. We'll close now. Just have like less than 10 minutes now. Amen. Glory to God. So he relates to Sabbath. So, and when they read Sabbath, all of them know what Sabbath is. All of them. It's you today. Some of you say, I don't know what Sabbath is. All of them, yeah, they knew Sabbath. Do you get me? I saw one post of mine 2011. I said, Sabbath day is on Saturday, not Sunday. I felt like I got to be like a sweet cheese, so. 2011, I looked behind and I said, yes! Don't worry. That's nonsense. Because I didn't know what Sabbath was. In their world, they knew what Sabbath was. Amen. Now, what is Sabbath? Sabbath was a practice in Egypt. You see that? Eh? Sabbath was a practice where? In Egypt. That they set aside, in Egypt, they set aside a day to worship their deities. And that day is called Sabbath. So that day, you don't do anything, you just go and worship your deities. Hope you are following me. You don't do anything at all. You just go and worship deity. Hope you are with me. So Moses knew that all of them knew what Sabbath is, a day for worship, honoring the deities. So Moses brings it. You see that? Moses brings it to teach about God's day. So what will be God's day? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see? Yeah? So Genesis 1:1 is the foundation of scripture. If you understand Genesis 1:1-3, yeah, you won't have a problem in your study of scripture. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. So Moses is about to talk to them about God's day, and he said, listen, we're about to talk to them about God's day. And look at what he said to them. He said, he brought them back again, took their minds back again to Sabbath day. Did you see that? Egypt. Hope you are following me. Eh? They set aside to worship David. And then, here's what he did. So before you think Sabbath day was about one day when you worship, though Moses gave them a particular day and said this is the day called Sabbath, but that day was a parable. Do you see that? To point to what he has taught them. So you have to go back to Genesis. This is not the same audience. Go back again and see what did he tell them about the Sabbath. Do you see that? And watch the patriarchs in Genesis. So the Sabbath day will be the last day that launches into a new beginning. You see that? So you see that last day, you keep it. Get to Genesis chapter 2 quickly. Why are you doing that? Let me quickly check something.
Sorry. Okay, so look at Genesis chapter 2 quickly. Are you here? Are you with me? Okay, Genesis 2 verses 2. It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from the work which he had made. You see that? Now when he uses that word, he rested, is that word on the seventh day. That is the Sabbath. But that is there in that word Sabbath. Do you see that? So it says God rested. So that means to cease from work. Well, he was talking about the fact that we will rest in God's work here. So, man, listen to this. Now, something you have to check is when he's done teaching them, when he's talking to them, and then after them, God rested on the Sabbath day, right? Now, he pointed out to them, when they had Sabbath day, their mind goes to Egypt, right? Right? Which is the seventh day, the last day. I've talked to you about the last day during Believer's Convention, but I'm going to take some things and then show us again. Now, he used the last day, right? I would say the last day is the Lord's day. Fine, leave that for now. Now, get back to the patriarchs. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did any of them have a particular day where they worship God? That was the only time you find the word Sabbath used in Genesis 2:2. Okay, following, wasn't found again. So that means, before, listen, so that you would know the word Sabbath is an Egypt word. Before Egypt, he wrote Sabbath in Genesis 1 because the audience he was writing to was an Egypt or an Exodus audience. Let me not call Egypt audience. Was an Exodus audience. Hope you're hearing this. Now, he doesn't mention it in any of the Petrarch before Egypt. So that means there was no specific day for the worship of God. But Moses will employ that day to teach them about the Lord's day. What did the Lord say? When the Lord rested from all his works, when the whole earth is now in heaven. Okay. So he picks that day and he says, that is the Lord's day. That will be the Sabbath day. That you are to keep it holy and to sanctify it. Isn't that? Okay, well, because God has done that also. So he keep it holy by doing no work. Stop there. But did any of the patriarchs do that on a particular day? No. But rather they did it every day. They worship God all along. Right? But he picked that to show them God's day. That there will be God's day. When a man is saved, it will be God's day. Hope you are following me. Now stop. Get back to Exodus chapter 20. That is talking to that same audience. Look at what he says to them. That same audience. Exodus 20 verse 11. It says to them, it says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that there is, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Is that the Lord? He said to that same audience, said the Lord blessed the seventh, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Do you see that? What is that Genesis 2:2? Look at what he said to them. And he said, that was what the Lord did. So because they were an Exodus audience that were in Egypt, they understood what they mean by Sabbath day, rested on the Sabbath day. Because they had the Genesis 1. Rested means, he sees this world, the work is complete, God, the heaven and the earth is in one place. That is the Lord's day. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Now, in Deuteronomy, he's writing to another audience who was not this audience in Exodus. The audience in Exodus were dead in Jerusalem. But they are still the Israelites. But that generation he wrote Exodus 22 were dead. So he's now writing to this audience. Look at what he says to them here.
Hallelujah. In verse 14, it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor any of the cattle or strangers that is within thy gate. Is that the same thing what we read? Yes, but look at where they identify that there. And thy manservant, the maidservant. Now look at verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out hand. Therefore, the Lord has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Did you see that?
What did he tell this guy to do? So remember, cast your mind on salvation, because that is the Sabbath day. Did you see that? The Lord rested salvation. Did you see how he puts it? So that means the Sabbath day was to point to the promised land. The Sabbath day was to point to deliverance. The Sabbath day was to point to the Lord's day of rest. Hope you're following that.
Don't lose out there. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Hope you're following me.
Well, that is right. Let your very good idea. It was complete.
Yeah. Up of Jesus. Up of Jesus. Up of Jesus.
Are you shy? Up of Jesus. Da 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 da!
We'll finish. So let's get back to Matthew chapter 12. Hope you're going to hear what I'm teaching you here. Uh-huh. So it'll be. So that's it. So now let's be on the same page.
Sabbath day is this seventh day. You understood that? Seventh day is this last day. Last day, right? Come on, is it last day? So do you now agree that last day is heaven and earth? Is that deliverance? Is that the last day? Amen? Amen. So after the seventh day, what do you have? Let me catch up with you. Guys, tell me, what do you have? After 7 days, rest. 7 days, rest. After 7 days, rest. But what you have is new beginning. Look at our teaching before now, right? The new beginning away from. Do you understand me? The new beginning.
That's very simple. Hallelujah. So the Sabbath day wasn't pointing to a particular day. That's what you need to see. The Sabbath day was a point of God, so God's work in salvation. This is like, so Jesus will now pick that Sabbath day motif.
I want the same motif. Thank you, Jesus.
Now Jesus will now pick that Sabbath day.
That seventh day, last day, when I say, in that day, in my heart, in that day, you know, I'm in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Did you see that? That is the seventh day. That is the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me.
Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So, the Sabbath day is it? Heaven and earth, God and man, salvation. Hallelujah. So when he now says you do no work, what does it mean? Doesn't mean you should not wash plates. No. You do no work shows you that in salvation, it will be God's work. Salvation will be God's work. You don't do any work with me. All you need in salvation is to believe. It's God's work already. To believe. And that belief will produce God's work through you in all the
world. That's what
it means. Hallelujah. So when he says you do no work, it means Moses is showing them, you that made someone that ox. It means that because it's the Lord's day, man is not involved in that salvation. Man only believes in God's salvation. Do you see that? So you do no work is to show that it's the Lord's salvation. You do no work. So that is why you are faith not of works. Did you see that? Ephesians 2. Not of works. Hope you're following me. So it's not of your work. You just have faith in Christ. Hallelujah. But that, Paul will not put it this way.
That salvation work that you believe in will not produce God's work through you in all the earth. Hallelujah. Amen.
So I begin to round up here. Let's look at that. Matthew 12 again. So, just like we said, the use of Sabbath is an illustration. You don't stick to the illustration, right? You actually look at what is the illustration pointing to. What is pointing to is what you stick to, right? So when they came to Jesus and said, your disciples are doing what is not lawful. Jesus is not promoting an unlawful act. No. He's only telling them, you miss Moses. When Moses gave you Sabbath, it's not so that you can do or not do things. It's showing you that it's the Lord's Sabbath. You see that? So that's why he said, can't he also see? He placed that Sabbath alongside the temple. You see that? So that means in the Sabbath fact is the temple fact. He placed alongside the temple. Okay, follow me. So take note of what I said. In the Sabbath fact, you will find temple reality. Hallelujah. So Jesus will not say, see. Moses, he said, Moses, the people are doing non-lawful. Look at what David also did. He ate what was not lawful to be. Did what was not lawful to be done. He entered into the temple and ate what was meant for the priest. What is this showing? It's showing you that both the Sabbath and the temple are illustrations of the same thing. So you don't stick to the illustration, stick to what it points to. And show them that even when David did what was not lawful to be done in the temple, right, he wasn't killed. You're sure, because that was a pointer, right? Not the real thing. Very vital for you to see what Jesus was calling attention to. Amen. But Jesus wasn't promoting an unlawful act. He's only re-explaining scriptures to them. I put it like this, the way Pastor Shagun will put it. He's only reworking the scriptures for them to see that temple and that Sabbath are pointing to the reality of salvation, which you need faith for, not your works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you learned something. Hope you did. Are you sure you did? Talk to someone and share with us what you learned today. Talk to somebody. Let's share.